Ireland's Classic Hits Radio is Trina Mara. I am delighted to have Dr. Claire Thompson with us today. She is a consultant gynecological oncologist at the Mater Hospital. Could everyone give me a clap there for pronouncing that perfectly? It's a bit of a mouthful. So Dr. Thompson, the reason I guess we wanted to have you on today is because so many women listen to this show and you are seeing women day in, day out. And unfortunately, in some cases with your job, you know, you're meeting women who've been referred to you at maybe very advanced stages of cancer and positive outcomes might be significantly less. So we want to really raise awareness of women's health and particularly ovarian cancer and that whole area. So thanks for coming on, first of all.
Trina, thank you so much. I'm pleased. It's Claire. But no, we just wanted to say a thanks so much for allowing us and the team in the matter and James's and all of the gynae oncology centres to be able to do this, because it's just something we're really passionate about, to try and get the message out to women just to how to mind themselves, especially around the area of gynae cancers.
Is there a particular age group that it's more common in that you would see women, or is it all kind of ages really?
It very much depends on the type of gynae cancer. So when we talk about gynae cancer, we actually have five different cancers that we mind, in terms of there's obviously ovarian cancer, and there's then womb cancer, which are, we call endometrial cancer. You have cancer of the neck of the womb, which is cervical cancer. And then you also have cancer that can affect the vagina itself. And then when you go to the outside skin, the vulva, you can get a cancer there, obviously called vulval cancer. In terms of ovarian cancer, ladies, the average age of ladies that we would see that get a new diagnosis of ovarian cancer tend to be in their mid-60s. But the point I wanted to get out to all of your listeners is that unfortunately this is a type of cancer that can affect women at any age. And about 18% of the patients that we see are actually premenopausal, so they haven't gone through the change of life yet. And unfortunately they can be an extremely young age. And although all ladies, no matter what the age, they need the best possible care and support for ovarian cancer, we're very conscious that younger women with this condition might need additional needs in terms of trying to talk to them about the aspect of fertility, which may be unfortunately very limited. Okay. And also the fact that they might have to go through the menopause at a much younger age than what any of us would expect to do so. So it's really important to look at the care of women from all angles, especially when they're dealing with this type of cancer.
So although I'm around women day in, day out, and we talk at the school and I've got all the girlfriends and the girls in work, I have no idea what the symptoms would be of these cancers. You might talk us through some of these to make us a bit more aware of it as well, Claire.
Ovarian cancer, I'm sure you might have heard, Trina, people would have called it the silent killer years ago. And that's not strictly true. There are symptoms for women to be aware of. And when it comes to ovarian cancer, we're really lucky in Ireland. The INGO group and the Overcome and all the charities have come up with a really good mnemonic for ladies to be aware of the really common ones. And if you think of BEAT, then we all want to beat ovarian cancer. And the B stands for bloating that doesn't go away. The E stands for eating and you feel fuller, faster. It's a thing that we would call early satiety. The A stands for abdominal and pelvic pain, which is very new for you. And then the T stands for toilet. So any new changes that are really out of the ordinary for you in terms of passing water or your bowel habit, if any of those symptoms happen to you or any of your family or friends, it's really to encourage people to go and get themselves seen.
You do see it sometimes, don't you, in ladies that they almost look like they're pregnant because of the bloat in the stomach. So that is definitely something to watch out for.
It is. And one thing, and in fairness, it's really tough for GPs sometimes to find this cancer. The symptoms can be really vague, but GPs especially are getting so well versed in the fact that women, especially in our, whenever we head into our 40s and 50s and 60s, we really shouldn't be starting to get irritable bowel syndrome. It's something that you tend to get much earlier in life. So especially if you're past the change of life in terms of you're in your 50s and 60s and you start to get new symptoms in your bowel that are really out of the ordinary, it's really important to go to your GP, and especially bloating that doesn't go away. If you feel that the tummy's definitely getting distended or tight or sore, you really should get yourself checked out as soon as possible.
Is there much that you can do at that stage?
We have to be really honest with women that, unfortunately, because we don't have a screening test for ovarian cancer, a cervical smear, for example, won't pick ovarian cancer up. We don't have a test for it. And because the symptoms can be vague, a lot of ladies, unfortunately, when they come, when they get diagnosed, the cancer has already started to spread. So about 3 out of 4 ladies will actually come at a higher stage of cancer than you would want. But that doesn't mean that we don't treat ovarian cancer. Ovarian cancer is something that we are very passionate about fighting and treating as best we can. And the treatments tend to be a combination of surgery and chemotherapy. And now, the big thing is that we have to obviously do the tests and biopsies and scans to get all the information, because it's really important to get the right type of treatment and in the right order. Because some ladies we might do a big surgery on first and then give them chemotherapy after that. Other ladies, it might be more suitable to give them some chemotherapy first to treat the whole system. Mm. And then we would do a surgery maybe in the middle of the chemotherapy and then give more after that, a bit like a sandwich nearly. Yeah. And the surgery has really started to come on hugely. We're much more aggressive in the surgery for ovarian cancer than we would have been. And we've shown actually in studies that we've done in the Mater Hospital that that's really improved our survival. But what that means, it can be a big day out for a lady. The surgery, yes, obviously it would be involving removing the ovaries and the womb, but about more than 50% of our ladies require an operation on their bowel, and we sometimes have to operate on other organs inside the tummy, like the spleen and a cling film lining we all have inside our tummy called our peritoneum. And these operations can take many hours to do, and they might involve, you know, several surgeons. The other thing is obviously to take as much all the cancer away that you can possibly see, but we need to treat the patient from top to toe in the areas that you can't see, and that's where things like chemotherapy are so important. They treat the whole system. And once those active treatments are done, the big focus is on trying to keep this cancer away. And there's a lot of newer treatments that are out there that a lady can take them in sort of tablet form at home or infusions every few weeks. And the aim of these treatments are not so much an active treatment, but they're treatments to really try and stop this cancer from coming back. And we're constantly trying to do more and more research and to get newer treatments in Ireland. And that's why we're very proactive in trying to ask ladies and their families to support us by getting involved in clinical trials, because that's the best way of us trying to continue to fight this disease and to try and get these newer treatments into Ireland quicker.
When you speak to a patient, a lady comes in, you're saying we're going to have to perform maybe a hysterectomy, or what's the reaction normally? Because it's such a big life event, such a big recovery as well.
It is, and I think the biggest thing is taking our time to go through everything with a patient and their family. And whenever we explain what we're trying to achieve and where the cancer is, but the aim is to still very much treat this cancer. The ladies that we treat, in all honesty, are absolutely amazing. And they are totally with us in trying to fight this cancer as best we can and to go through all of these treatments, which can be really challenging. But they take on those challenges. But what we're very much trying to do now in Ireland is to really start to focus on supporting our patients in all of these different ways that they need. And we're finally starting to talk about the word survivorship in ovarian cancer. And we really couldn't say that for a long time, but we now are. And that's where I was mentioning earlier that we're starting to develop clinics to sort of help ladies with menopausal symptoms after cancer. Because although HRT might be restricted in some of these ladies that have kind of ovarian cancers and breast cancers, there's a lot of non-hormone treatments out there that people maybe weren't aware about. And we try to get them on them that can really support their symptoms. And we try and, the big aim for us in every way is to try and support a lady to try and get back to her quality of life after these treatments, which is equally important. We want them to get back to enjoying their lives and being part of everything that they want to be.
God, women really do have it hard. You know, it's tough going, isn't it?
It is, and it's really important for us just to try and really, our big aim is to try and encourage all women out there, no matter what their age, no matter what their background, that it really is worth minding ourselves and being aware of those symptoms and to try and seek help if they feel any problems that way, and to start talking about it as well. There's still a bit of taboo on some of our cancers, and for some reason, cancer on the outside, that vulval cancer I mentioned before, a lot of ladies don't talk about that, but it's a cancer that can affect women, and it's really important to mention it. And also for people to start talking to their family about, well, what happened to the family in terms of, is there any cancers that run in the family that might be really important to know about? We're getting much more aware of genetics in all types of cancers, but especially ovarian cancer. We know about up to 18% of people, the cancers might be caused by a genetic factor. And women typically want to know if they carry a gene that could have caused cancer because they want to protect their family. So they want to protect their sisters and their nieces and their daughters. Now, we want to know about it selfishly because some of the newer treatments that we have work extremely well in ladies that carry genetic mutations. But obviously, it's really important that if a lady does test positive for a gene, we can start to screen their families. And then the ladies that maybe haven't been affected by these cancers, they can start to change things by going for breast screening, and we can start to talk to them about surgeries to try and reduce the risk whenever the time is right for them. And we can try and protect ladies from getting these cancers, hopefully, in the future.
Why is it, Dr. Claire, that, you know, in America, well, I guess it's from watching all the TV shows over the years, all the TV characters that talk about going to see their gynecologist, and it hasn't actually really been a thing in Ireland. Like, you go to your GP, you might get referred, but we don't have a kind of a, you wouldn't go to a gynecologist on a regular basis, really.
No, and you're absolutely right that that is very much a thing in the States, and also actually in some parts of Europe as well. Now, we unfortunately don't have any genuine evidence that that helps prevent anything hugely. And like, unfortunately, I was saying to you, we don't have a screening test for ovarian cancer. What we do say is that we do have one screening test, and that's for cervical cancer, which is your smear. And we really need women to still please engage with trying to get their cervical screening done and keep it up to date. But it won't pick up things like womb and ovarian cancer. What we know is that, unfortunately, there's ultrasounds and blood tests you can get done, but unless you have symptoms, unfortunately, that doesn't help protect from cancers. The big thing is keeping an eye out for symptoms and to try and get yourself to your GP as soon as possible. And like I say, in fairness, it really everybody's awareness, including gynecologists and GPs, has really increased, and people are very much more proactive about getting scans and tests done for ladies that have symptoms.
For the cervical screening, you get the letter for that, don't you? Or do you need to kind of keep note of when you should be going yourself?
The national system is really the place to be. Because the national system works, you do get an alert when yours is due. So what I would say to ladies is go when you're summoned. So you will get an alert, but it's still our part as women is still when we get the notice that it's due, we need to go. We try and make it as easy as possible for ladies to get their smears done. Obviously, the GP practices are excellent, but well woman clinics and so on are also very good, and very often people can book online and so on. So things are starting to move with the times. Okay. The big thing is if we get the nod that it's time, we need to go.
Okay. And when you're going for that screening, would that be, where would you go for that in relation to your menstrual cycle? Would that be the week before, the week after? Or
in terms of the timing in the cycle, it really doesn't matter hugely to us. We really just ask that if you're actually on your period, would you please maybe defer your smear for a few days. Yeah. Unfortunately, if you're on your period, the smear test doesn't read as well. So we really ask you, listen, this happens, we're used to it, don't be worrying, it's not a problem. But if you were on your period the day your smear is due, if you could just give us a wee shout, and we can adjust the time for you, there's not an issue.
Quick question before you go, and this is something that's come up amongst my friends, and a lot of the ladies are saying, I call them the ladies, this sounds funny, sounds very grown up, but a lot of them have been saying about the older we get, we're all kind of in our 40s now, and the older we get, we feel like our menstrual cycle's getting worse. And a lot of the girls in my gang kind of saying, I wonder, is that a sign of a problem, or is that normal? It seems to be getting heavier. Is that something that's normal enough, or would you recommend going to a GP about something like that?
The honest answer is, for all of us that sort of head into our sort of mid and late 40s, we can actually naturally get changes to our periods. Unfortunately, that's just something can happen. But you're absolutely right. In terms of things like womb cancer or maybe cancer of the neck of the womb, the cervix, a regular bleeding can be a sign. And although, again, womb cancer people associate it with ladies that have gone through the change of life, we also know that it can affect younger women. The big things to sort of look out for is an irregular bleed, if that makes sense. So if there has been a really significant change in your periods, that, you know, you're starting to pass clots, you're really bleeding very, very heavily, and you wouldn't have done that before. And the other thing is, especially if you're bleeding in between the periods. So really, you've got bleeding and you're like, I am not due this at all. But, you know, if it's really out of the blue, and if you also have persistent bleeding, perhaps after intercourse as well, or if you used a tampon or anything, it's always very worthwhile asking your GP just to check that for you.
Well, I hope we'll get to have you on again to talk through some of so many questions I'm sure we're going to get in on the text now as well from the ladies listening. But I'm delighted that we're able to get a few minutes of your time. I know you're very, very busy. Between seeing all your patients and surgery. Thanks so much for coming on. There's Dr. Claire Thompson. We'll speak to you again, no doubt.
No, thank you very much, Shane. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks a million. It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.